Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on, let me look up the title here again, I turned the page here, Soil and Grass and Cancer, Soil, Grass, and Cancer, right after this. No, how many laws did Moses give us here in the Mosaic Law, and how many laws has the state given us in our secular government? Well, Moses gave us 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. The state at last count gave us 2.5 million. 2.5 million. Now, you know, the Apostle Peter said that we ought to obey God rather than men in Acts 5, verse 29, and Congress said that we ought to voluntarily apply the teachings of the Scripture in the lives of families, individuals, and societies, and our Supreme Court has said that there is a higher loyalty than loyalty to this country, and that is loyalty to God, and they said that in Seeger versus United States. Now, you know, every authority is in agreement. Our Congress, our Supreme Court, and our Creator all agree that the Scriptures are the final authority on law. Now, if you'd like to learn these 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments and how to use them against government intrusion into your God-given rights, it's a right, it's a duty, it's an obligation that we owe to ourselves, our families, and to our society. And here at the law school, we teach all 759 of these statutes, judgments, and commandments along with the penalties for the violation of these laws, and we do that twice a year in the spring and the fall. So why don't you make it a point to regain your First Amendment right to free exercise of your religious practices this year? The First Amendment is the gateway to the Second and, in fact, to your whole Bill of Rights. Now, the law of God may be old, but it's not old-fashioned, and it's very relevant to our lives, and it's very relevant to our rights today. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package first? That's the place to start. It's a commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free. And you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Our Mosaic Law School is available on compact disc for adult home study. And if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, click onto the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. That's georgegordon.org. All right, now last time I said, we were talking about this thing of soil and grass and cancer, and I said last time, let's take a look at these 19 health laws that we see here in the Scripture. And I'll tie those 19 health laws in with this book that we're reviewing here. It's called Soil, Grass, and Cancer. The Egyptians had the same diseases that we've got today. Or put today, or put another way, we've got the same diseases that these people in ancient times had. And if we want to get over these diseases, then we have to first come to grips with, well, what in the hell's causing all this disease to start with? You know, you've got ADHD. Your kid is running around in school. He's hyperactive, and you can't figure out why. We didn't have ADHD in 1950. So something happened between 1950 and 2010 to cause that event. Cause and effect. We didn't have autism. We didn't have sudden infant death syndrome. But it came upon us. Now, something causes that, and we need to do something to eliminate that, or to at least eliminate your chances of it. I mean, if you could lower your chances by 50%, that would be a big step in the right direction. So when we look in the Scripture, we find out that there are certain activities that we engage in. These activities, we get results. You know, you're going to get some results. And the very first one is adultery. What does adultery do? Well, adultery covers a number of sex crimes, and there are a number of sexual activities that you can engage in that can cause you sickness and disease. For instance, adultery. We'll circle that one off. We can come down here to copulation. That's another one. We come down here to menstruous women. There's another one. And then we've got a thing here called incest and sodomy. That's a couple of more. We've got one here called bestiality. That's having sexual relations with animals. And then we have fornication here. So let's see what we've got. Fornication, bestiality, adultery, sodomy, incest. And I don't know if menstruous women would have necessarily to do with sex. I'm going to leave that one out. Copulation does. That's a male ejaculation. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 out of 19 health laws. 6 of those laws deal with sexual activity. Now, what does sexual activity have to do with disease? Have you heard of STD? Sexually transmitted diseases. How many of those are there? Well, when I was a kid, we were only concerned about two of them. It was gonorrhea and syphilis. Today, we've got herpes, venereal warts, AIDS, gonorrhea, and syphilis. And there's probably some more. They got one that they're calling super gonorrhea, super STDs. Now, there's two chapters in the Bible that talk about sex. There's more than that, but there's two big ones. It's in Proverbs 5 and Proverbs 7, just to give you a little little flavor for it over here. And here's our Creator comes over and says, hey, boys, let me explain this thing of sex. If God made anything better than a woman, he kept it for himself. Now, women are real neat inventions, and I don't deny that, but if they're used inappropriately, it's kind of like driving a car, you know? Cars are great tools, great fun, great transportation. But if you use it like a 16-year-old kid, it's liable to kill you. You know, if you use a woman like a 16-year-old kid, you know, you could get killed doing that. So you need to be careful about the way you do that. So flipping over here to adultery, and we've got AIDS, herpes, VD, hepatitis, and gonorrhea. And then in Exodus 20, verse 14, we have a specific statute that says you shall not commit adultery. So, you know, God came along and said, don't do that. We said, oh, no, that's the American way. We've got to go out and practice a little adultery here. Well, a couple trips to Flo's Whorehouse, you know, once a week or twice a week, you know, is right in line with the American way. All right, now, the bottom line to this, though, is that if we practice adultery, at some point in time, there's going to be a result that comes from it. There's always a result that comes from it. So stick with it and keep after it, and you can develop that result. But Proverbs 5 and Proverbs 7 will explain to you, maybe you'd be better off if you were to rethink that and practice a little different lifestyle. You'll live longer, and you'll be healthier in the process. Second one over here deals with bestiality. Looking through the Mosaic law here, there's 133 of these laws. Let me just give you a little background. There's 133 subjects that we're going to look at here. Adultery is a subject. Bestiality is a subject. And if we were to look at covenant statutes, the congregation of God, clothing, coveting, dead men, cutting your flesh, credit, and the death penalty. These are subject matters of law. Now, there are 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. So you got 130 subjects, and you got 759 specific statutes. These statutes come in three forms. They come in commandments, like thou shalt not commit adultery. They come in statutes, like you shall not have a sodomite of the sons of Israel. And then you have judgments, like the judgment that comes down in Numbers chapter 30. 30, is it 30? No, it's 35, I believe it is, where you have an inheritance come up here, and you needed a judgment to construe the statute. That's Numbers 35 or 36. These are called judgment statutes and commandments. Now, there's a bunch of them, but as I mentioned a little earlier, if you take a look at where we're at with the civil law, the United States of America has saddled us with 2.5 million laws, 2.5 million, and they're adding to that at the rate of 47 pages a day. And that was before the Patriot Act, Homeland Security, and the Obama health care legislation. My God, those bills alone have, you know, 1,300 pages in Patriot Act and 2,500 pages in the health care bill. I mean, these guys are serious. You know, when they make law, I mean, they make law. God comes along with, thou shalt not steal. Four words. Covers one entire subject matter of theft. Now, when the Congress gets after this, they have to write a whole series of books, you know, like Title 18 of the U.S. Code to explain to you theft. All right, now let's take a look at this then. Bestiality in Chapter 8 is a crime, and it's punishable by death, so it's a capital crime. Adultery is punishable by death. It's a capital felony. And it is laced, this bestiality, it's laced with sexually transmitted diseases, but it's also laced with a number of other diseases. Where do you think diseases come from? How do you think we get these diseases from animals to men? You know, things like hepatitis. You know, you got hepatitis A and hepatitis B and hepatitis C. Now, once these diseases get started in people, you know, then they start passing from person to person. How did the first person get hepatitis? You know, if you were to ask the average guy, well, he just walking down the street one day and had his mouth open and sucked in a germ, and there it was. No, he didn't. He wasn't just walking down the street and opened his mouth and sucked in a germ. He had to go out there and break a law. And breathing is not a violation of the law. Did something to go out there and get a hold of some disease that came out of some animal. So bestiality, that is sexual activities with animals over here, strictly prohibited. Copulation, now is chapter 23. Now that's a little bit tougher one to come by. Let me flip over here to chapter 23. Very important factor over here that deals with male semen. And that's because there's a statute here that says that you're to wash it off. If any man's seed of copulation goes out from him, then he shall wash all of his flesh in water and be unclean until the evening. And every garment and every skin whereupon his seed of copulation shall be washed with water and be unclean until the evening. And women also, with whom a man shall lie with the seed of copulation, they shall both bathe themselves in water and be unclean until the evening. All right, now here's an important factor. You men, you have 32 body fluids. Do you know that? You know, tears is a body fluid. Urine is a body fluid. And semen is a body fluid, saliva. And then you got a bunch of them inside of you too, you know. But here's the moral to the story. All of these fluids carry enzymes and bacteria and one thing and another. And the semen in men is not, it doesn't have a, let's see what word I'm looking for here. You know, you have a, you get a splinter in your finger, and right away the corpuscles come out there to attack it. It's a foreign object. And your body's immune system recognizes that this is a foreign substance, but your body does not recognize semen as being a foreign substance. It's an exception to the rule. And it has to be an exception to the rule, otherwise you couldn't breed and reproduce, because your semen, once it enters the woman, it would be recognized as a foreign substance, and then it would be rejected. It's the rejection factor. That's the word I'm looking for. All right, so since the rejection factor isn't in this semen over here, it becomes a very toxic fluid, especially if it's carrying any kind of disease or pathogen. That's why you can spread it directly to the female, because here's this pathogen in the semen, and the female's body doesn't recognize it as being a foreign substance. So it's a dangerous substance. It's like human feces. It's dangerous, toxic waste. It's like radioactive waste. Menstrual fluid is rated the same way. And there are certain waste products that come out of human beings that are highly toxic, and they need to be disposed of properly. So God comes along and says, hey, let me give you a couple of health laws here. It's like health, sanitation, and healing. During the 1890s, there was a lot of contagious disease in New York City being spread around. You had a lot of people close together, and a lot of those people were living pretty dirty. And so, number one, we had to clean up the dirty areas of town. We had to increase hygiene and impose quarantine. So with the use of quarantine and hygiene, we Americans just about eliminated contagious disease by about 1900. I say eliminated. We got the thing under control by 1900. Now, there's still people out there that have TB, for instance, and they're spreading that TB to other people. But with a little bit of sanitation working for us, if we get our heads on straight and we start practicing these sanitation laws, all of a sudden, you know, we can avoid most of that. And if you can't quarantine the sickies from you, then you need to quarantine yourself from the sickies. So here we've got adultery, bestiality. Fornication goes right along there. Fornication is sexual relations before marriage. Now get this. 25% of American teenagers between the ages, well, you know, young people, between the ages of 13 and 25, 13 to 25, in that 13-year time frame, have STDs. Today, as I speak, here in America, 25% of that age group, 13 to 25, is suffering from some form of sexually transmitted disease. Well, in that age group, you know, if you young people would practice these standards or these health laws here, like adultery, fornication, copulation, menstruation, incest, and sodomy, you wouldn't get sexually transmitted diseases. Did you know that? But we want to have fun, and we go to public school, and public school teaches us sex education in public school, don't they? They don't teach us abstinence now. They teach us to use condoms. Well, okay. Now, you people are out there using condoms, and you're practicing safe sex, right? All right. And you have 25% of your young people now suffering from venereal disease. What's that tell you? Now, I'm not running a crusade here, and I'm not trying to clean up America. You need to know what the answer to the riddle is, and the answer comes right here from your Creator. He told you, you got 19 laws over here. If you want to avoid disease, you practice these 19. You break one of these laws, and you'll get a sexually transmitted disease at some point in time. All right, what else we got here? I got one more here, whores, number 127. He said, there will be no whores among the daughters of Israel. Now, these are just working girls that are out here trying to make a living. Whether you're married or single, whether you're practicing sex casually or you're doing it for business, here's a little rule of thumb. If you want to know why you have so much AIDS among sodomites and you don't have it among lesbians, think about that. AIDS being transmitted from female to female is practically unheard of. It isn't impossible, but it's not very common. But AIDS being transmitted from male to male, or from male to female, is very common. In fact, that's the way it's being transmitted, either through homosexual or heterosexual sex. Now watch this. The disease is being carried from male to male contact, not from female to female contact. And that's because of this copulation, the seed of copulation up here. So these males are having sexual relations, and they're getting male sperm on them and in them, and their bodies cannot recognize that as a foreign substance. Now, females are designed by God to receive semen. But that doesn't mean that if you've got AIDS with it, that it's going to prevent them from getting AIDS. Which is why it's so important that we practice these sexual contact laws like adultery and fornication. Now, people that practice morality, abstinence, marriage, recognize that there's no such thing on planet Earth as sexual relations outside of marriage. How do you like that? On planet Earth, there's no such thing as sexual relations outside of marriage. Kind of a wild statement, isn't it? Now, that's without a penalty. Now, you can go out here and you can go to Flo's Whorehouse and you can practice these deviant sexual practices, but there's a penalty that goes along with each one of them. And with the people that practice morality, abstinence, marriage, sexual practices within marriage, we're not plagued with these diseases. Now, sodomites in this country, this is the United States now, die on average at age 45. Sodomites, if they get AIDS, die on average at age 39. Only 3% of sodomites live to age 70. Now, tuck that one away in your heart. In the general population, the average age span is 75.6. Sodomites, only 3% reach 75.6. And with medical doctors, the average lifespan is 58 years. So you medical doctors out there are criminals, and you're breaking laws. And as a result of that, you're dying young. Sodomites, you're breaking laws, and you're dying young. It's the penalty that you pay for the violation of those laws. Just that simple. No fuss, no muss. All right, so now let me check these off over here, and let's take a look at number 13 back here, blood. There's a statute in here that tells you that you shall not eat blood. So here's your creator. He's telling you, hey, don't eat blood, because the life is in the blood. And there are parasites, worms, protozoa, degenerative disease, and contagious diseases that come from eating blood. And in Leviticus 3:17, he tells us, now he says, now it shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all of your dwellings that you eat neither fat nor blood. There it is. Now, that's not the only place that statute is pointed out. It's mentioned 7 times in Scripture. 7 times he tells us not to eat blood. Now, we Americans don't eat very much blood. There's a few foreigners that have come here to the United States, and they've brought with them their practice of eating blood sausage from Poland, you know, places like that. Here in America, we don't eat it. We mainline it. Mainline it. Yeah. We call it blood transfusions here in the Red Cross. They come out and they say, hey, come on down here and donate blood, you know, for us guys. I always like that, donate blood. Now, when you go to the hospital and you want blood, you need blood, do they give it to you free? Because from those of us that they're taking the blood, they take it free, but they sell it for $175 or $200 or $300 a pint. Now, a lot of times people say, well, you have to have blood. No, you don't. Distilled water does the same thing, but distilled water doesn't cost anything, and blood's $100, $200, $300 a pint. The medical practitioners are selling something that makes money. Come on, wake up, smell the coffee here. Now, if you have surgery coming up and you need blood, why don't you donate your own blood in advance? And then if something happens to you and you need blood, why don't you tell them, stick in distilled water, would you please? All right. Next item over here after we get through with blood. We got a statute here that deals with childbirth. It's kind of an odd, wild statute over here. It's number 17. But by practicing this childbirth law, we can prevent bacterial infections, viral infections, and cancer. You'll find it in Leviticus 12, verses 1 through 8. It's kind of an odd statute, but here it is. It says, hey, do this, you know, just for you women. Doesn't affect us men. We're not involved in it. But when you have a baby, and if you will practice this statute here in Leviticus 12, verses 1 through 8, as it relates to females and males being born and so on, it'll be of benefit to you, your baby, and to the rest of society. And there it is. It's called the childbirth statute, deals with health. Now, circumcision is a health law. It's more than that, but it also is a health law. For instance, among the people who practice circumcision, penile cancer is virtually unknown. In fact, in the 20th century, 3 cases of penile cancer were detected in the United States among Jews who practice circumcision. 3 cases. And all 3 of them made the medical journal. Isn't that amazing? Now, in China, where they do not practice circumcision, they have cancer over there. And 14% of the cancers are penile cancer. Isn't that special? Now, that isn't 14% of the Chinese get penile cancer. Now, that's not what I'm telling you. It's 14% of the cancers that develop are penile cancer. So when God told us to circumcise our male children, when they're 8 days old, he was not whistling Dixie through a straw hat. So it's a health law. In addition to, it's also a cultural law or statute among our people. God told us, this is what I want you to do, to identify yourselves. But in addition to that, it's also a health law. So let me circle that one off. And then we come up here to clean meats. That's chapter 20. Clean and unclean meats. And what does that have to do with the price of putty here? Here in the United States, we eat anything that wiggles, moves, and squirms. It isn't quite as bad as it is in China, where they eat monkeys and rats and, you know, things like that. But I mean, here in this country, anything that's introduced over here, we'll eat. In fact, I saw one the other day in England. They've got squirrels over there, and the gray squirrels that they brought over from the United States have taken over the habitat of the English red squirrels. And so they're hunting them over there, and they're putting them on the menu of some pretty upscale restaurants. And people are eating these little rodents. Now, that's not a natural thing for us Israelites to be eating. But my point is that once these Gentiles around us introduce us to these pagan practices, God, we'd love it. We just can't wait. We want to get into that right up to our elbows, both hands. So here in America, you know, we're getting into eating a lot of Indian food and Thai food and Oriental foods. And some of that food is good and it's clean and it's lawful, but much of it isn't. So here in clean and unclean foods, you'll find these two chapters. It's Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14. So if you'll write that down in your notes, Deuteronomy 14 and Leviticus chapter 11 tells you all the clean and unclean meats to eat. And there's a very simple rule that you follow. If you want to eat meat such as beef, lamb, venison, the animal has to chew its cud and have a cloven hoof. If you'll take a look at the hoof of a cow and compare that with the hoof of a horse, the horse's hoof is solid. It's not cloven. It's not split. And sheep and goats and deer and moose, they all have cloven hooves. So the animal has to have a cloven hoof and has to chew its cud. If it does that, it's a clean animal, such as a giraffe is a clean animal. You can eat giraffe, but not camel. Camels chew their cud, but they don't have a cloven hoof. How do you like that? All right, that's rule one. Rule two, if you want to eat a bird, like a chicken or a turkey, you can eat a bird if it has three toes forward and one back. So you look at its foot, three toes forward and one back, and does it have a song? If it does, like a turkey, chicken, you know, songbirds, with three toes forward and one back. Now, when you look at a woodpecker, he doesn't have a song, and he's got two toes forward and two back. He's unclean. And when you're looking at ducks, geese, swans, are all unclean, as are eagles and a whole host and plethora of those vulture-type birds like hawks and so on. They screech, but they don't have a song. And they don't have three toes forward or three and one back or some combination thereof. So chickens and turkeys are clean, and partridge and pheasants and all kinds of birds, you know, are clean. Now, in the waters, there's a simple rule, fins and scales. If that critter has fins and scales, he's clean to eat. So what this tells us is alligator is unclean. He's got scales, but he doesn't have fins. Turtles are unclean. They've got scales, but no fins. Snakes are unclean. They have scales, but no fins. How simple that is? Now, you take fish like salmon. They have fish and scales. They've got scales along with their fin. So all of the fish, like carps and so on, those are clean fish. Now, what about the crustaceans? You know, crabs? Well, those are sea spiders. And mussels and clams and abalones, those are snails, sea snails. So eating snails and spiders is not good, whether they're on land or whether they're in the oceans. So it's got to have fins and scales, and if it doesn't have that, it's not fit to eat. Now, in Japan, a lot of times, you know, they'll go out there and they'll dig up clams or they'll get oysters or something like that. And these are called bivalves, and then they're water cleaners, they're water filters, and they filter out the toxic heavy metals in the water. So in places like Tokyo Bay, where the oysters are cleaning the toxins out of the water from the industrial plants, they get high concentrations of mercury and other heavy metals. Then when people eat those, they come down with diseases. You know, some kind of a catastrophic disease like metal poisoning, like mercury poisoning. So tuck that one away in your heart and see if you can avoid those bivalves and crustaceans. And if you do that, then you won't get the diseases that come from them. And if you want to eat blood, fat, and crustaceans like lobsters and crabs, you need health insurance. God, I'd be the first guy to tell you, hey, partner, you better sign up for the Barack Obama health care plan, because at some point in time, you're going to get sick. You're going to have a catastrophic illness there. Hey, hang on a second here. I've got to give you a reminder that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective, not state schools and all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has our radio log schedule and archives, and all of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. And all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org. Go to the archives page and download it. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct, to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are reviewing a book here. It's called Soil, Grass, and Cancer. And the author's name is Andre, I guess that's the right way to pronounce that, Andre Voisins, V-O-I-S-I-N-S, and it's put out, or it's distributed by the Acres USA people down in Austin, Texas. Now, this book does not contain these 19 health laws. I'm putting that in there kind of as a sidelight for you so that we can demonstrate or we can show you that what these people are telling you here in the book has a corollary out here in the real world. There's a penalty that we're paying. And what their motivation is, they want to tell you what these trace elements are and how the soil has been perverted and polluted and how these diseases, you know, have a cause and effect relationship, and they're doing a hell of a job, hell of a job. I just wanted to jump in here and tell you that there's a creator God out here. He told you the same thing, and he said, now practice these land Sabbaths. Now, the people down at Acres, they're not advocating land Sabbaths. No, they're advocating that you fertilize with organic fertilizer, and that's good. And they're not advocating that you practice these health laws. Now, they're not advocating that you go out here and you violate laws and get yourself sick. But hell, these people raise pigs. Now, pigs are unclean. Pigs are specifically prohibited in Scripture. And, you know, if you want to eat pig, don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success, but you can't digest it. Now, that's just the way life is. And as a result of that, it tastes good. Hell, I eat pig all my life, and I know pig tastes real good. Didn't eat it all my life. That's why I lived so long. But, you know, the first 20 years, hell, I just ate pig regularly. In fact, my grandmother, I was raised by my granny, and I don't think that my granny ever cooked anything without pig. If she did, it's because she ran out and didn't have any to put in it. She baked her pies with lard, and she always had a pot of beans on the stove and always had a ham hock in it or bacon rind. And so I'm not, you know, I'm not a foreigner. I'm not here as a vegetarian, you know, trying to get you people to quit eating meat. Eating meat's not your problem. Eating the wrong kind of meat is your problem. The bivalves in these crustaceans carry heavy metals. That's toxic. Now, the Japanese, they've got a fish called a puffer fish. The damn thing is deadly. I mean, it's like trying to defang a rattlesnake, you know, while he's alive. And you got to be very careful about these puffer fish, and they've got a pretty good technique. They've got people trained to do that, and then I guess it tastes real good. They tell me it does. People generally, when they're taking their life in their hands, eating puffer fish, you know, it must taste good or they wouldn't be taking that risk. But it's a skin fish, and you know, here's God comes along and says, don't eat these bottom-feeding skin fish over here because they're toxic, and they're bad for you. Now, just because you can do that, well, it's like smoking a cigarette. You know, you're 12 years old, and you're going to show everybody how tough you are. So you run out here, and you take a puff off a cigarette. See? Ha! Didn't kill me. Ha ha! Didn't kill me. Tell John Wayne that, would you? All right, let's take on another one over here. Let's see where we're at here. Dead Men, chapter 28. It's against the law to touch a dead body. It's against the law to touch a dead, unclean body. You can touch a dead, clean body. dead, clean body. Now, an unclean body would be a human being. They're unclean. A pig is unclean. Porcupines are unclean. Pigs are unclean. And that's because those animals carry a lot of diseases. And you'll be a lot further ahead if you avoid touching them. So if you need to touch a dead body, you need to put on a pair of gloves. When I've got a dead body around here, you know what I do is I usually pick them up with a tractor bucket, take them down the woods and dump them. Now, if you've got a dead calf, that's no problem. You can just grab a hold of him and haul him out of there. You're not likely to get any diseases from a dead, clean animal. But you are likely to get disease from a dead, unclean animal. You know, things like rats and mice, possums, squirrels, the raccoons, and then the coyotes, and bear. Now, it's anytime you're dealing with a dead, unclean animal, make sure that you're dealing with it safely. That's the place that you need to be practicing safe hygiene. All right, with that out of the way, dead men, that's chapter 28. Let me give you a scripture on that so you can go look it up and see if I'm lying to you or not. Dead men, health loss. That's Leviticus 19:28. And here's one. Leviticus 21, verse 1. The Eternal said to Moses, "You speak unto the priests, the sons of Aaron, and you say unto them, there shall none be defiled for the dead among his people. None be defiled." Now, there's guys out here called undertakers. You know, so the undertaker, he needs to deal with an unclean body, doesn't he? And then he's called unclean until the evening. Now, when he gets through at the end of the day, he needs to come home, take a long hot bath, take a shower, clean up, disinfect himself. And that's because that's pretty toxic, dangerous work that those undertakers are involved in. Now, we got to do something with dead bodies. I don't deny it. Now, I'm not sure that we need to embalm them and spend a lot of time, effort, and energy on them, but, you know, we like to do that. The ancient Egyptians, they like to embalm those bodies and turn them into mummies and one thing and another. And so there's a long history, you know, of people doing that, but I just want to point out here that if you personally don't have to touch any dead bodies, you'll be money ahead. You will not lose anything by not touching a dead human body. But you could lose a bunch. So let me circle off dead men. Here's one, number 39, fat, F-A-T. This is what causes things like heart disease, stroke, degenerative diseases. It's a health law. And there's only two in the scripture, two statutes. It's Leviticus 3:17 and Leviticus 7:22-25. The penalty is sore sickness and death by disease. It will be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings that you eat neither fat nor blood. Fat nor blood. Covered blood a little earlier, and here comes fat. Now, here's a little kicker for you. Did you know when you go down here to Burger King, Wendy's, McDonald's, you know, Fat Boy, you know, Big Boy, or whatever you call it, that hamburger that they're serving you in this country has three grades. It's 70% lean, 80% lean, and 91% lean. And our legislatures create that. And these meatpacking companies, they go into the legislature and they say, "Hey, we need a fat law." And then they word the fat law, "If any butcher or wholesaler, jobber, or retailer shall be found to put more than 30% fat in the meat, he shall be guilty of a misdemeanor and punished accordingly." And when we read the statute, we say, "Wow, our legislature is out there working for us. They're out there just working their hearts out, trying to protect us from those dirty capitalist meat packers." Oh, no, no. You got that backwards. See, it was the capitalist meat packer that went in there to get that fat law put on the books. And that's because here in America, we want to raise fat cattle. Charolais, whiteface, you know, what they call a black Angus. Now, we came over here to this country, and we wiped out the buffalo. Buffalo, they have 6% body fat. And these fat cattle have 25% body fat. Isn't that special? 25%. Now, the buffalo, to keep warm, he has to have more hair. So the buffalo has 14,000 hairs per square inch. Isn't that amazing? It's fur. That's why a buffalo hide rug, or coat is so valuable. They're $1,600 at Neiman Marcus. Now, the corollary to that is if you've got a white-faced cow out here, and you kill that cow, she's got 300 hairs per square inch, 25% body fat, and the butcher there has to have something to do with that fat. So he goes to the legislature and says, "Hey, we've got to have a fat law that permits 25% fat, but we don't want to word it like that. We want to word it so that it looks like we're opposed to fat, but we're really the fat purveyors. And 40% fat in your hot dogs. So we have to have a place to sell this. I mean, we're buying it at the live cattle level, so we need to sell that to people." So they put spices in it. God, they make it taste real good. I don't deny that Oscar Mayer wieners taste real good. But that 40% fat in there violates the scripture. And that 30% fat violates the scripture. 20% fat violates the scripture, and so does 9% fat. In fact, the 6% fat that's on the cow has to be cut off of it and left out. You shall eat no manner of fat. Let me read it to you again. It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout your dwellings that you eat neither fat nor blood. Got that? Now, there's always going to be a little bit of fat in that meat. There'll be a little marbling in there, and you have to have a little fat, and I don't deny it. But if you studiously avoid eating fat, you'll get all the fat you need without getting any extra. That's going to kill you with heart attack and stroke. All right. Now, the penalty for that is sore sickness. Sore sickness. Heart attack is pretty sore sickness. Quarantine comes into play. That's number 101. Quarantine. Let's try. Yeah, quarantine. Let's try number 101 here. I'll flip over here a little bit further and see if I can find number 101. Getting close here. There we go. Quarantine. That's to protect you against infectious disease and bacterial infection, such as cholera, TB, and bubonic plague. Here's a good one. Back in 1348, the bubonic plague moved into England, and it killed about 100 million people. They estimate, you know, they don't know exactly, but they figured around 100 million people worldwide in about 3 years. So between 1348 and 51, in England, there was a great backlash against the Jews. Now, there were some Jews in Europe, and they didn't get the bubonic plague. Isn't that special? Yeah, the Frenchmen were getting it, and the Italians were getting it, and the Austrians and the English and the Irish and the Scots, hell, they were getting bubonic plague and dying like flies. Well, that's because they were eating fat and blood and tripe and all kinds of good stuff. And the Jews, you know, they didn't eat fat and blood, and they didn't eat crustaceans and snakes and all the rest of it over there, so their immune systems work a little better. And then the natives over there thought, well, the Jews must be poisoning our water. They must be the cause of this plague coming upon us. The reality of it was they were bringing this plague on themselves because of their Christian practices. That's why I call them pig-eating Christians. Pig-eating Christians. Don't save your breath now. Don't write me a letter and say, well, you damn Jew now, because that ain't correct either. I'm a Hebrew, and I practice Hebrew law, and that's what Moses did. You know, Moses was a Hebrew, and he practiced Hebrew law, and Abraham was a Hebrew. He was called Abraham the Hebrew, you know. And the Hebrews now, so we have been avoiding these unclean foods, and we've been practicing these health laws now for quite a long time. Now, it just so happens that the Muslims also practice these health laws. Well, a lot of them. They don't eat unclean food. So the Muslims, you know, they don't eat pig. And Muslims have pretty good health. You know, they're not near as poor health as we Americans are. And they live pretty moral lives. You know, you don't see Muslims running around out here practicing the kind of free sex that we practice over here. That's not to say that they're all 100%, you know, goody-two-shoes boys over there, but I'm just pointing out, you know, as a society, as a native, you know, a native bunch. See, we have that same thing here. Now, Mormons, you know, have a pretty moral life. And they don't drink coffee, and they don't drink booze, and they don't smoke cigarettes, and they live a little longer than the rest of us. The rest of us, you know, we live to be about 75 and a half, and Mormons live to be about 80. And the Seventh-day Adventists, they do the same thing. Now, the Adventists, see, now they don't eat meat. They're vegetarians. And now the Mormons, they eat pig. They're pig-eating Christians. But because they don't abuse their bodies in other ways, they can eat more pig and get away with it, live a little longer. Can you imagine how long you might live if you practiced all of these laws, them all at the same time? I mean, if you practiced all 19 of these health laws. Now, a lot of these people will practice 6, 8, 10, 12 of them, something like that. I mean, you could be sitting there saying, well, I don't eat blood, and but I do eat, you know, unclean meat. I don't practice quarantine. But I don't practice sodomy, and I don't practice adultery, and I don't practice bestiality. And that's good. You know, that's all good. And if you don't practice those practices, you probably won't get venereal disease, but that doesn't mean you're not going to get bubonic plague. Now, remember, every law has a penalty. And if you're practicing some of those laws, you will not pay the penalty for the practice of those laws, but you will pay the penalty for the violation of any law that you violate. Now, that's just you take that one to the bank. Now, let me show you a little something here on this quarantine thing. What country in the world do you think has the lowest incidence of AIDS? AIDS. Lowest incidence. Cuba. Can you believe that? Why, those Marxist Cubans have the lowest incidence of AIDS. Do you know why? They practice quarantine there. When they find somebody with AIDS, they lock them up. They separate him or her from the rest of society so that they can't spread it to somebody else. We don't do that here in the United States. In fact, they don't do that in Africa and most other places. And as a result of not practicing that quarantine law, they end up having AIDS being spread all over Africa. In fact, it's an infectious disease that's just growing by leaps and bounds. And I guess those people over there are ignorant and don't know any better, but then that's the way life is. And just because you're ignorant doesn't mean that you're not going to pay the penalty. And that's the bottom line to that. So I'm going to circle off this quarantine here and see if we can do one more. Sanitation. I'll try 108 in sanitation, and next time we'll finish it up. Sanitation is important. That's keeping clean. If you keep clean, that's going to go a long ways toward preventing things like bubonic plague, contagious disease, infectious diseases, and bacterial infections. Just keeping clean. Now, you know, sometimes we get a little bit dirty. Now, they're telling us, you know, we need to wash our hands, you know, a lot to prevent getting this H1N1 flu. And I don't deny that. I'm not opposed to washing your hands. But, you know, if you've got a good, strong immune system and you practice sanitation, that is, you know, when you go to the bathroom, you know, you need to wipe yourself, wash your hands, and keep yourself kind of clean. That'll keep from spreading disease. In fact, in most restaurants, you know, it says, employees of the restaurant, when you use the bathroom, would you please wash your hands? That's because you're going to go back in the kitchen and you're going to be working with food, and then people are going to be eating that food. And if you're spreading the disease from various parts of your body to these people in their food, that's not good for you. It ain't good for the people that are eating it. All right, so that's the reason for that. Now, here in America, we take our waste products, our feces, flush it down the toilet, run it through a plant, and then flush it down the Mississippi River so the people in the next city can drink the water. Boy, ain't that just real tasty, huh? Now, God in the Bible here in our sanitation statute, which is number 108, and he tells us that we shall have a place also without the camp where you should go forth abroad, and you shall have a paddle on your weapon. It shall be when you ease yourself abroad that you shall dig therewith and turn it back again. Just like a cat buries its waste, God tells us, bury your waste. Don't flush it down the river to St. Louis. All right, for you people in St. Louis drinking the sewer water from the people up in Des Moines, I've got to leave it right there and remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. And The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, our time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.